Previously on Tendril.
You might have heard news of the recent Kronket invasion and the establishment of a for-profit zoo on the uncivilized planet called Meklamar. The Commonwealth has already charged the Kronket Empire with an obscene number of war crimes. A phantasmal presence appeared and transformed a zookeeper into a hulking monster.
There's that general, right? In charge of the zoo? Let's go to him and explain the situation. As long as we don't let on that we're with the Commonwealth, he's probably the best guy for info.
The doors slide open, revealing a grinning General Vool and 10 Kronket in military armor aiming machine guns directly at the crew.
To me, it appears that I have a unique specimen on my hands.
From the scabbard at his waist, Vool unsheathes a machete.
What are you doing? Look at that! It's still wriggling!
General Vool laughs on his throne of bones as his military Kronket guards escort the Banshee crew to the treacherous depths below. This is Tendril, the Banshee Chronicles. Episode 6, Chaos in Zoos. Written by Caitlin Radle and Brian Borsis. Many leagues beneath the habitats of the Kronket War Commemorative Zoo and Funtime Centers, a slop-spewing squad of guards shove the Banshee crew into a dilapidated cell where no one can hear their screams. With their weapons confiscated and their arms restrained, they are unable to fight back. The decor in the cell badly mimics the flora of Meklamar. It contains some astroturf grass and a couple of completely plastic palm trees and flowers. The guards secure the electro lock and walk away, chortling amongst themselves. Kronist slumps to the ground, tentacles splayed beneath him, his severed arm gushing violently purple blood everywhere. Cade swoops upon him.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, we've got to stop this bleeding. You need a tourniquet or something.
Cade, stop.
No, I will not stop. You're bleeding everywhere, all this blood. How are you even still conscious? Here, I'll rip part of my shirt off, maybe.
No, Cade, just leave me alone.
I will not let you die.
I'm not going to.
Before Cade's very eyes, Kronist's lost arm grows longer by the second, tentacle suckers popping up along the length of it, producing a limb that is a slightly lighter shade of green, but ultimately the same shape as before, still functional.
What?
I told you, I didn't need your help.
So, you expect me to know that the first thing you'd do was grow a limb? Oh, and I thought the Extremo was the grossest thing I'd ever seen.
Wow, thanks. That's one for the books. Grossest thing Cade's ever seen.
I didn't mean it like—
And thanks for putting us in this situation, by the way. If you hadn't forgotten Vexlin Garmo's name again—
Well, if you weren't some kind of one-of-a-kind collector's item—
Can you two get off of each other's asses for 1 second? Can someone help me find an escape route?
Sorry, I forgot, because our captain's arm was lopped off.
You would never have been able to give him the appropriate medical attention.
What are you doing? Searching the wall for secret panels?
That would be a start, yeah? We're kind of on a time crunch here.
Oh, right. We have to finish the mission in 24 hours so you can get a field trip.
That, or maybe I actually care about this mission. Did you also forget that we have to finish this before the GAC troops arrive?
She's right, Cade.
For a moment, the three of them stand in silence, simmering in their own frustration.
How's your new arm?
Fine.
Did growing it back tentickle?
Actually, it really kind of hurts.
Sorry, it's a good thing that General Guy didn't know you could regrow it. He might have cut it off like 5 times or something.
Let's not focus on that. We need to find a way out of here.
Yorona, can you get access to any maps of this underground cell system? Yorona?
We're underground. Maybe the connection's severed.
Okay. No, Yorona. We're going to have to strong-arm our way out of this.
On it.
Cronus tries to get up from the ground.
Not you. You rest. You need your strength for when we actually get out of here.
I'm... okay.
While Cronus rests, Switch and Cade search the habitat for trapdoors, hidden panels in the walls. They even try the rusted metal bars facing the inside of the compound, but the bars are solid, and the electrolock shows no indication of budging.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. Sort of like a cricket?
More like a really sad violin song.
No, definitely a cricket.
It's coming from up here.
Switch scales the plastic tree in the center of the habitat, and it bends beneath her weight. Carefully, she maneuvers until it leans against a wall. She rips a rusted metal panel off of the wall to reveal a grate.
It's an air vent.
Do you think it leads out?
Well, it leads somewhere. Maybe to the thing that's chirping? My guess is that it's a Mechlamartian. If we got their help, maybe we could find a way out together.
Well, I guess... we don't have any other option.
Switch clambers into the air vent. It's a tight fit, but she has enough room to crawl through.
See you on the other side, Fludgery.
He grins and salutes as Switch disappears into the hole in the wall. She crawls through the air vent with a little disgust. These vents clearly have never been serviced and seem to have been bought used or crafted from scrap metal because they're rusty and covered in grime. Thankfully, a ramshackle job here also means good, albeit rusty, handholds, so Switch is able to make her way through quite easily.
Checking comms. Switch, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Ensign.
Perfect. So for dinner, were you thinking zoo food?
I don't eat, but I was kind of thinking revenge with the side of escape.
Ah, I was thinking cheese fries, but the edge is on point.
Shh.
She follows the sound of the music. Sure, it sounds a little like cricket chirps, but to her, it's definitely a song. Finally, she reaches the end. She kicks the grate out, startling whoever or whatever was making the noise on the other side. Switch leaps into the habitat, sticking the landing on a patch of grass. This room is almost identical to the one the Banshee crew was locked in, but instead of iron bars, it notably has a glass wall facing out into the cell compound. Switch now shares the space with a young Mechlamartian, who is peeking out from behind a rock blatantly crafted out of papier-mâché.
Hey there, little guy.
Me?
Not you. There's a little baby Mechlamartian in here.
She's much smaller than the other Mechlamartians Switch has seen thus far. Probably a child. In solitary confinement. She stands on two little legs, but closely resembles a cricket. Her carapace is tan with darker stripes. Her big black eyes are watery and anxious.
It's all right, I won't hurt you. Looks like they haven't gotten one of those jaw locks on you yet. They probably don't make them small enough, huh?
Switch crouches down to the level of the little Mechlamartian. She reaches out a hand in an offer to help. The little alien chitters her mandibles nervously, limbs tense, eyes squinted suspiciously. After a moment, she comes out from behind the rock and approaches the lieutenant, one step at a time.
There we go. How long have you been in here? I bet you've seen some pretty terrible things. I have a couple of friends back on the other side of the air vent. I bet if we put our heads together, we could find a way to get us all out of here.
Again. The Mechlamartian sings her mournful song.
Damn. I wish I had a translator patch for you.
The tiny Mechlamartian perks up at this and scurries closer to Switch. She studies her curiously for a moment, mandibles twitching slightly. Then she presses her forehead into Switch's palm.
Hey, what are you? Oh.
In a language that is not quite words, a story comes to Switch through electrical currents that vibrate up through her arm and into her audiovisual receptors.
She's sending me images. Messages. It's fuzzy, but I think she's trying to explain what happened.
Okay, what are you seeing?
Her name is something like Zeely. She was living with her parents, her two fathers, that is. They were connected to a huge community, a planet-wide network.
They can all talk and commune like this, with electricity in the air, like radio waves. I'm seeing the ships of the Kronket descending, cutting off parts of the network, whole families disappearing, her people being ushered into pens, cages, their presence in the network snuffed out. They were on the run, going somewhere safe. There was anger, frustration. Her dad turned back to get something, and the Kronket jumped on him. They sliced him open. They grabbed him and pounded his body full of bullets. The blood was everywhere. Oh, my stars, I'm sorry you had to.
Switch? And then what?
She and her remaining father, they were part of a resistance. A network that still existed outside of the zoo. She didn't really know the details, but they were going to free their people, I don't know how. But then she was found, captured.
Zeely pulls her face away from Switch's hand. Her mandibles twitch expectantly.
I thank you for showing me. This changes everything.
So there's a resistance?
Even better. There's a network. A way to start a revolution.
No revolution.
I think we're a little past that.
Switch stands up, glancing at the air vent, then back at Zeely. She grins.
Want to work with us on a jailbreak?
Zeely hops around excitedly. Switch scoops the little Mechlamartian onto her back, then leads her back through the air vent tunnels, popping out into the habitat her crewmates are being held in. Cronus looks a little more verdant than before. Cade hovers around him like a nervous mother hen, but clutches his chest at the sight of Zeely.
Oh, she's adorable!
Not cute enough to disobey direct orders from the Admiral.
I'm sick of hearing it, Cronist. It's pretty easy to see what's going on here. It would be irresponsible to ignore it.
Whatever happened to being focused on the mission?
Fuck the mission! This whole planet, this whole goddamn zoo, it needs to burn! It's twisted beyond bureaucracy and paperwork. Take a look at this baby Mechlamartian. Help, take a look at your brand new arm and tell me I'm wrong.
Cronist and Switch glare at each other for a long moment.
You're right. I'm trying to do things the right way.
Well, maybe we should start focusing on how to do the right thing.
Meanwhile, Zeely has become acquainted with the cell, particularly with the iron bars and the metal electrolock. She gets Switch's attention.
You think you can work with this?
Zeely chirps again, bumps her head against Switch's hand a few times, then gestures toward the lock.
Oh, you want me to... Oh!
Switch closes one hand around the electrolock, then allows Zeely to press her head against her free palm. This time, she doesn't receive visions, but instead feels a static pulse, like lightning bolts just behind her visual receptors. Her hand sparks and crackles, and the lock pops open.
Well, that's a little easier than picking it, huh?
Think you can walk, big guy?
Don't ever call me that again.
Nonetheless, Cronist gets to his feet, or manages to stand on his tentacled lower half, and only sways for a bit before steadying. Cade tries to put an arm around him in support, but Cronist shrugs him off.
It's just the blood loss. I'm fine.
Okay, you sure you are?
Cade follows Switch, who has already ventured out of the cell.
I'm kind of surprised that an alarm hasn't gone off, or that, like, guards haven't come running. Aren't there security cameras? Where is everybody?
Sure enough, as the Banshee crew moves through the narrow corridor of the underground cell block, no guards come running. It's eerily silent. Zeely draws close to Switch, who leads them to the end of the corridor, into a room where their confiscated belongings wait in bins, as well as that of a few other unknown individuals.
Oh, sweet! A grappling hook!
I'm not sure that's yours to take, Cade.
Well, I'll just borrow it. If it comes out that someone's missing it, I'll give it back.
The only other thing in here is a service elevator to General Vool's office, which remains functional.
Grab your weapons and let's get going.
They take the elevator up. An alarm is blaring, but the office is completely empty. There is one difference from when they were here before. A large monitor is on above the bone collage desk. The screen plays security footage, which shows the zoo in absolute chaos. Animals run amok in the cobblestone pathways. Guests are shown on the feed to be hiding in bushes and running away from derelict predatory fauna.
What happened?
We aren't the only ones who did a jailbreak.
I imagine General Vol probably has his hands full with this.
Good. The more his hands are full, the less he can cut off limbs of friends.
We can use this chaos to our advantage. We'll be able to move through the zoo unnoticed.
Switch, what's the plan?
Switch opens a drawer on General Vool's desk and retrieves a park map. She lays it flat on the desk.
Okay, so right now we are here, and the Mechlomartian habitat is here, which is on the clear other side of the park. If we cut through the middle of this mess, that will be the fastest route.
But what will we do when we get there?
Zeely taught me that her people are linked by this sort of ethereal psychic connection. It's transmitted by their mandibles and received by their antenna. Those clamps on their jaws prevent them from communicating, which makes them feel isolated and helpless. But if we found a way to get the clamps off safely...
They could rise up on their own. We wouldn't even have to do anything.
Exactly. It's just getting them out of their chains.
Well, that still doesn't solve our problem with that warlock monster. That's probably what's causing this chaos. Right now, it's not safe for the Commonwealth forces to land on the planet, which is our job.
Well, it's the Mechlomartians' planet, too. If we gave them their freedom, surely they'd be willing to reciprocate by fighting a common enemy.
And if we run into it on the way?
We do what we do best.
I wouldn't say that fighting giant monsters is what we do best.
Well, it's certainly what we do most frequently.
We don't have time to waste. Let's get moving.
With Zeely in tow, the Banshee crew take the elevator down to the ground floor of the zoo's administrative building. The lobby, like the office, is eerily empty. Even the receptionist has disappeared.
It's like they felt the need to evacuate.
But where? Why?
Back in the damp jungle air of the zoo, the happy chatter and milling crowd are gone. Instead, the zoo's speakers play an eerie, empty song over the sounds of growls and the occasional distant scream. The paths are empty, devoid of people, but littered with half-full food containers, abandoned children's toys, and trampled water bottles.
Well, this is spooky.
Switch and Cronus nod in agreement. As a unit, the Banshee crew moves through the park, weapons drawn, eyes glancing cautiously in all directions. As they pass the Kishil habitat once more, a deafening scream rings through the air.
That sounded like it came from inside the habitat.
If they're alive enough to scream, they're alive enough to be saved. I'm going to take a look. Take Zeely, I'll catch up with you.
Switch bolts off into the Kishil exhibit, looking for an entrance into the habitat. As she walks into the underwater viewing area, she sees an alarming sight. Five Kishil, with their snaggle teeth and thrashing tails, are surrounding the tiny creature who is splashing vigorously in the water. The creature is bright pink, basketball-sized, and appears to be vaguely star-shaped. Definitely not something that belongs with the Kishil, but something that will become Kishil food very shortly. Switch finds a door marked Employees Only, and bursts in, finding a treacherously constructed wooden deck with a trapdoor. Switch yanks the trapdoor open so ferociously that the hinges break off, and without a moment's hesitation, she dives into the dark waters below. The splash from the habitat's food hole alerts the beasts in a Pavlovian response. They whip around to gaze at Switch with their beady eyes, their frog-like hands stretching out towards her. With her android body, Switch is a strong swimmer, but it's barely enough to escape the apex marine predators. She fires a few plasma slugs near the creatures, careful not to injure them. The sound and movement causes them to scatter. Switch locates the small creature fending for its life and breaches the surface, wrapping an arm around it and pulling it to the edge of the habitat. The creature squalls in protest.
Is this a new challenger? What is it you are doing?
I'm getting you out of here. Unless you want to die.
Switch reaches the edge of the habitat, where a rocky wall stretches up far higher than a Kishil could ever jump. She scales the wall. The Kishil by now have caught on to what is happening. They leap out of the water, thrashing and snapping their jaws at the lost meal.
Smirnoff Vice here with your Commonwealth Catch of the Day. Rumors have come in from our tip lines from our iTunes reviewers and Patreon supporters. You know us as the place where you can hear news from the coolest inhabitants of sub-zero planets all over the galaxy. Today in our top secret exclusive military news feed, Lieutenant Gary Scary Mayo, rumored to be a tendril agent, confronted a nest of bloodthirsty pixies on Boudoir Prime. The furious Fae had set up a changeling racket, offering parents the chance to buy their kidnapped children back for absurdly inflated prices. Verily, Scary Gary did not tarry. He had barely been aware before he squarely punched a fairy. With the children carried back by Gary, the horror is imaginary. It's common knowledge that one can deduce the age of a tree by cutting it open and counting its rings. Well, last night, local police on the planet Susculon apprehended a criminal who took that knowledge a bit too far. Stephen Diel, a mind-addled researcher desperate to confirm his hypothesis on the age of Susculon, planned to saw the entire planet in half with a hyperlaser. It would have been worth it, Stephen claimed, to prove the creationists wrong. We here at GAC News remind you all to teach your kids to just say no to mysterious drugs. Strangers can bring danger, especially if that stranger is a hulking, pulsating mutant with glowing red eyes. See you next time on Commonwealth Catch of the Day!
Let me down! I will fight them!
Oh no, you're not going anywhere. Those things are like four times your size.
I am four gajillion times their strength.
I seriously doubt it.
Stop holding me and fight me, you coward!
Switch reaches the top of the wall and tosses the little creature over it, who then begins to run as fast as those little legs can take her. Switch lands behind her and scoops her back up.
Oh, no you don't.
Ha! Captured again. Am I to be a war prisoner?
What? No, I just don't trust you to keep yourself out of trouble. You've got some kind of death wish, little buddy.
I am not little buddy. I am the mighty Pookie of Plimtozot, the greatest superhero to ever live.
Mm-hmm. And Cronist is the chosen one.
A chosen one?
Oh, just a guy I work with was raised to think he's got a special destiny.
Me too! On Plimtozot, we have many chosen ones. I am the chosen one of defeating Puzzle Dungeon with many attacks.
I don't really think that's how you're supposed to...
What?
Never mind.
Pokey's head swivels around as she tries to get a better bearing of their trajectory.
Where are you taking me, sidekick of Chosen One?
I'm not... We're going across the zoo so we can fight the giant monster that's tearing this place apart.
Ah, finally! Giant monster! Perhaps it will finally match the ads.
Ads?
Yes, the ads on the Propsipon Planetary Properties news billboard. Come see Meklamar fight many big monster in Jungle Arena.
That seems a bit premature.
Yes, the monsters have been mostly premature if you mean that they are not fully grown.
No, I just mean that PPP doesn't own this planet yet.
I do not care who owns this planet. I only wish to gain glory on the battlefield.
You've got your priorities straight.
Nearly at the Meklamartian habitat, Switch catches up with the rest of her crew. Pokey wiggles out of Switch's arms and runs up to Zeely.
Hello, great chosen one. Your reputation precedes you. I suspect we will fight more strongly if teamed up.
The hitchhiker's name is Pokey.
We've got too many kids with us, Switch. This is getting out of hand.
You are out of hand, peasant! I am no child. I am fearsome warrior! Tremble at my bulk!
We'll figure it out. They can both be useful in their own way.
I just wanted to interject that I'm not a kid either.
I didn't mean you.
Ha! Obvi.
The crew comes up on the Meklamartian habitat, which is unlike any habitat in the zoo thus far. It is, in a word, an abomination. It mimics a dollhouse, with austere cubicles separated from the public with glass walls. Mock furniture and appliances populate every pastel room. The habitat is stuffed with Meklamartians, metal jaw braces clamped over their mandibles. Some of them play with the toy objects in here, morosely brandishing plastic coffee mugs and pushing along pop vacuum toys. but mostly they shuffle sadly from room to room, occasionally pressing their foreheads together, desperate with the need to connect.
Fat bastard.
How is this even a thing?
How are we going to break in and free them?
We are freeing the Chosen One's family? I will punch right through the glass!
Ah, or maybe we could try that door over there marked control panel?
Oh, yeah, that could work.
But before anyone can make a move, a military jeep squeals in, kicking up mud. In the passenger seat is General Vool, one lone guard at the wheel, the others presumably having been eaten or otherwise detained by the rampaging creatures. Although Vool is less than 10 feet away from the Banshee crew, he speaks into a speaker system wired into the jeep.
Attention, trespassers! This area is dangerous! Hold on! You guys are the prisoners I just took! You already escaped!
Turns out your cells aren't as high security as you thought.
It is extremely disrespectful for you to break out of your cell!
It's disrespectful for you to cut off my friend's arm!
I am a five-star general!
So what, was your zoo rated like 5 stars on Zelda?
Cade.
Yorona?
While General Vool is distracted, I recommend you sneak into the control panel room. I suspect you will have no trouble hacking the systems.
Cade glances around, then quietly slips through the door unnoticed.
I give you a 0 out of 5 on Zelp. I'm opening my app right now.
Don't you dare!
Well, perhaps if you put any of your profits into the zoo itself, you wouldn't be having this problem.
Switch.
No, I'm not done. Because, first of all, it's unethical to take another living species that's sentient and knowingly lock them away.
Switch, look.
Switch turns around, and sure enough, the warlock towers over them, staff in hand. The laser sight from General Vool's guard flicks to the warlock's mask.
Now that is a beast!
Tendril, The Banshee Chronicles are written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Tendril is created by Caitlin Radel, Ryan Borses, Taylor Finneran, and Brian Finneran. The theme song is written by Brian Finneran, and all additional music is written by Ryan Borses. This episode featured Ryan Borses as the narrator and General Vool, Caitlin Radel as Switch and Zili Khan, Eric Mayo as Cade Fledry, Teron Middleton as Cronus Chalaknu, Diane Mayo as Pokey, and Monique Borses as Yorona. Tendril is only possible through the enthusiastic support of our friends, family, and listeners. If you're interested in helping to make this podcast a reality, please visit patreon.com/tendrilpodcast and check out our range of rewards. If you want to be featured on our Commonwealth Catch of the Day section, please review us on iTunes. For more information, as well as full transcripts of each episode, visit us at tendrilpodcast.com.